Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's telephone conference of Allianz SE on the reporting of the financial figures for the first quarter of 2010. For your information, this conference will be taped, and I will now hand over to Mr. Kos. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, also on my behalf, for the presentation of the results of the first quarter of Allianz Group, and Oliver Bäte, member of the board of Allianz SE, will lead you through this. Mr. Bäte, CFO, please go ahead. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for taking the time for our presentation. I hope you all have the documents ready, and I will try to go quite quickly through these so that you have enough time for your answers. And to sum it up, on page 3, you see the summary of our highlights. I think we had quite a good start into the year 2010. Our revenues are up 10.3% to 30.6 billion euros. That was especially driven by continued strong growth in life, health, and asset management. It was the strongest first quarter in our history, and I think that's quite extraordinary in an ongoing economic crisis. Our operating profit grew by 20.4%. to 1.7 billion, but that's compared to a low first or relatively low first quarter in 2009. Our net income for the quarter was 1.6 billion euros. That was positively influenced by capital gains, for which we didn't have to pay taxes, and we still have a strong capital position. Our solvency ratio is currently at 168%. Let me talk about a few details. On page 4, I won't go into this. You see the development of the quarterly results in revenues, operating profit, and what we call the net income or loss from continuing operations, that is, without Dresdner Bank. And I would now like to go to page 5 of your documents. You can see the development of our shareholders' equity, which compared to the end of the year grew by another 8.2% to 43.4 billion euros. That includes increased unrealized gains and losses, an increase by almost 1 billion, but also an increase of the revenue reserves. That is, includes the net income for the quarter, then unrealized gains, and an exchange rate result of 907 million, so we profited from the increase of the U.S. dollar. You know that we have significant U.S. assets, and any change in foreign exchange prices, of course, has an influence. Then we have a conglomerate solvency of 168% now, a further improvement. I would like to underline that there were no changes in the requirements, and a further increase in available funds. An important topic in public discussion over the last few days and months have been the exposure of financial institutions towards the so-called PIC states, a term I don't like, but only quote from press. And you can see that our exposure, you can see on page 6 that the sovereign debt exposure for Spain, Greece, Ireland, and Portugal. We looked at the government bonds here only. In other areas, we are pretty well hedged. So that was just the question, what would happen if one or the other state went into trouble? 3 points on this. First, we are a long-term investor. Our duration is usually fitting our liabilities, and therefore long-term. We're not speculating on short-term developments in the market. That's the first point. Then the second one, for quite some time, we've had a risk-adjusted weighting in our portfolio, so we didn't react on a short-term basis to daily news. Just to give you an example, we're always looking at the exposure of the market in sum. There are certain indexes for that, for bonds. That's, for example, the Barclays Euro Aggregate Index, and then we compare our exposure to that of the index. And for the countries Greece and Portugal, I can tell you, for example, that we're significantly underweighted compared to the index, and we have been there for quite some time. So we feel pretty good with our exposure. The 14 billion compared to our overall portfolio are in an exposure that is reasonable. Let me now come in the overview of our revenue from pages 8 and following. As I said before, we had a strong revenue growth in the first quarter of the year 2010. And on the right-hand side, you can see the growth broken down into the different areas, PC, life, health, and asset management. And based on our internal growth, so that's adjusted for foreign exchange effects and external growth, we had a plus of 9.7%, so the little below the total growth value. PC has remained stable. In life health, we grew by 17.3%, and in asset management, we grew by a very strong 62.4%. If we look at the operating results on slide number 9, you can realize that asset management and life health don't only grow strongly when it comes to revenues, but are also but also show a strong development in profitability. Property casualty is weaker than in the previous year's quarter that was hit especially by natural catastrophes. We had 5.9 points of the combined ratio, so 555 million is what they attributed, and then we had special weather events, another 1.1 points or 105 million. And then we had a result that was above, so we profited from a slightly higher claims result than in the past. And PSC, we will deal with PNC results in more detail in a minute. The non-operating result is explained on page 10 and shows you the most important drivers for the positive development, with more than 1.2 billion positive swing compared to the previous year. That was above all due to improved positions and realized gains and losses, and clearly reduced impairments on our investments. So we have a positive position of 711 million euros, as you can see on the right-hand side, and there you also see the most important drivers for this. The most important point, we had clearly reduced the impairments on equities and grown realized gains on equities compared to the previous year. In the first quarter of 2010, we had 653 million euros in realized gains on equities. And if we're talking about exposure on the bond side, it's also important to take a look at the overall portfolio. So what was the balance of unrealized gains and losses in fixed income? And here you can also see the strongly positive development between the first quarter of 2009 and the first quarter of 2010. We now have 6.8 billion unrealized gains. And if you look at our exposure compared to these so-called PIC countries, you have to take into account what unrealized gains are offsetting this, on the other hand, should it be necessary. The second quarter, second table in on page 10 shows the development overall, from the full consolidated private equity investments. We have a loss of 37 million, restructuring charges approximately 47 million, interest expense from external debt to 222 million, and then are the so-called acquisition related expenses 198 million. Those are expenses for the purchase of so-called B shares, acquisition related expenses for minority interest in PIMCO, and if the profitability of PIMCO increases, then also the expenses in this area grow, so that's the cost we have to pay for higher profitability. Then the reclassification of tax benefits, minus 14, and that brings us to an operating, non-operating items result from continuing operations of 259 million euros. On page 11, you can see the calculation of net income. So that was 1.588 billion euros, consisting of the operating profit, the non-operating items, the income before taxes, and then income taxes. We're a little bit lower compared to the forecast because we had in income taxes, because we had our effective tax rate was at 19.3% in the first quarter due to income we didn't have to tax. I would now like to talk about property and casualty. First of all, the summary on page 13, you can see that our revenues remained flat at 14 billion euros. As I said before, we had burden from natural catastrophe claims of 555 million euros and severe weather-related claims of 102 million euros. According to the technical definition, those can't be counted as natural catastrophes, but they have a similar effect, and that is why our operating profit was down 26.5% to 700 million. The combined ratio is at a somewhat less than satisfactory 100.4%. That includes 7 percentage points for net catastrophes and weather-related claims and 3.5 percentage points from favorable runoff. Let me now go into the details. On page 14, you can see the revenue development, and you can see that we have a continuation of what we said towards the end of the year. There were certain markets, Germany, France, Italy, where we're still losing revenue, but in most of the cases we're doing this on purpose because we don't want to grow with negative margins. We only want to grow in areas where margins are positive, and in the markets where this is the case, we're doing this, whether be it in Spain, a highly competitive market where we are able to differentiate ourselves positively in Switzerland, but also in the growth markets such as South America. I would now like to switch to page 15 and describe the operating result to you. On the left-hand side, you can see the development, the quarterly development of the operating profit and also the combined ratio in percent. And on the right-hand side, you can see the profit drivers. Our operating profit, we are looking at the differences in technical results, in investment, and whether there are other effects. And investment and other underwriting are the most important drivers here. Compared to the first quarter of the previous year, we had another decrease in the investment result, which was due to the reduced interest rates for our bonds, but that will be stable on the third quarter of this, will remain stable on the third quarter of the last year. And then we had a swing of minus 167 million in our technical results, driven by the NatCat effects that you all could read about in the newspaper. Some of our competitors were hit by these natural catastrophes. On page 16, you have a breakdown of the individual countries. In this case, on the right-hand side, I included the impact of the natural catastrophes in the first quarter, and you can see the influence on our combined ratio. So in Germany, for example, it went up 3.6 percentage points. In France, that had an influence of 8.7 percentage points. In the United States, we had the highest net catastrophe burden with approximately 8 percentage points. In reinsurance, quite logically, we have an effect from this because some of our own OEs are reinsured in-house, and HCS was also hit by the Chile earthquake. And in Australia, we had two hailstorms in Perth and Melbourne, so quite a few natural catastrophes in the first quarter, and that's important for the interpretation of our results. By this, we've spent a significant part of our NatCat budget for the year, so typically we're calculating 800 million or 2% on the combined ratio for a whole year, and a large part of this was spent on the first quarter now. If we look at the cost development, or is it included in the documents? No, it isn't. Okay, then we go over to page 17. I would like to tell you something about the overview of the nine quarters in the development, including NatCat and excluding NatCat. On the top left, you can see the influence of the natural catastrophes on our accidental year loss ratio. That's the loss ratio that's influenced by the individual business year and the runoff of the previous year. So we're trying to look at the financial year and try to see what the influence of natural catastrophes is. And for the first quarter, you can quite clearly see that we have a high NatCat impact on our accident year loss ratio. But if you take this out, the loss ratio goes into the right area, so down if you exclude NatCats. And that's positive for us because over the last quarter, through a better pricing and through a streamlining of our portfolios, we try to reduce this accident year loss ratio.
On the top right, you can see the individual drivers of the loss ratio. So you can see frequency and severity. We had a positive development there. So our portfolio streamlining takes effect, and also the changes in insurance conditions to improve our results. We have a net price effect, which of 10 base points in the first quarter, a significant improvement in the area of credit insurance, which over the last two years was extremely hit by the economic crisis. And then you see the counter trend in net cat expenses. On the left-hand side, you can see the runoff ratio, 3.5%. That's higher than the expected long-term value, but oftentimes in the first quarter, if you look, for example, in the first quarter of 2008, we have higher runoff in this first quarter, 3.6, for example, in the first quarter 2008. And on the right-hand side, you can again see the impact of natural catastrophes. On page 18, you see the development of our operating investment income over time. We're distinguishing between three elements: interest and similar income, net harvesting and other, and our investment expenses. As I've just said, we expect a stabilization of interest and similar income at around 850 million euros, which is lower than in the first quarter of 2009, and is about the level of the third and fourth quarter of 2009. On page 19, you can see our average asset base, which is growing. That's a positive development, and that's an important driver of our operating income. In PC, we are extremely hit hard by the low interest rate level. Therefore, it's important that our asset base grows so that we can stabilize the interest result in times of reduced interest rates. On the right-hand side, you can see the current yield as calculated on the average asset base. So much for property and casualty, and I would now like to talk about life health. A very positive development in this area. Our revenues, as you can see in our summary on page 1, our revenues were up 18% to 15.4 billion for the quarter. Our operating profit doubled to 812 million euros. That's, of course, against a weak first quarter of 2009. Then our investment income was up 82.4% to 3.9 billion, and the value of our new business was approximately a quarter of a million euros. And we have a new business margin of 2.2%, a very good value in view of the low interest rate situation that we're currently facing. On page 22, you can see that we don't only have strong growth across all kinds of segments, so not just in the classical life business, but also in investment-oriented products. So this market is coming back. And you can also see that we're growing strongly across most of the regions, except for Spain and the Netherlands, where profitability is not as we would like to see it. So here, the same is true as in PC. We only want to grow where, for our customers and our shareholders, we can gain acceptable margins. And on page 23, you see the investment results that drives the operating profit over time. And we have a doubling to 812 million here compared to the first quarter of 2009. But you cannot just take this result by four to get the annual result, because we have a volatility here, as you can see, over time. So we stick to the 2.8 to 3 billion that we expected as the result in life health for the year. But on the other hand, should our asset base continue to grow, we will profit from this over time. Then for the operating profit, we have three main drivers, as you can see on the right-hand side. First of all, the technical result, which has stabilized at approximately 210 million euros. That's a good result, and a strong improvement in the investment result from 318 to 640 million euros. And then the expense result, which compares the calculated to the real cost in life health, and there's always a negative deviation if we, for example, invest in the creation of new business channels or don't have a good expense control. And I mean, I like the first one, that we build up our distribution network, and don't like the second one. So we try to come up with zero so that we can finance ourselves from ongoing business. So we will try to reach the positive territory in all three drivers and to remain there. If we look at the operating investment income on page 24, you can see a positive and strong improvement compared to the weak first quarter of the year 2009, which almost reached 4 billion again. So here we have interest and similar income, 3.5 billion, net harvesting and other, that is the largest volatility parameter that was at 561 million and was clearly better than the 964 write-off we had in the first quarter of 2009. And as this disposition continues, all kinds of single effects, I explained this here in impairment, foreign exchange result, realized gains and losses, and the financial assets and liabilities carried at face value. And here you can clearly see that above all, our impairments were reduced, the foreign exchange results improved, and the realized gains losses net, which have a standard level of 300, 400 million per quarter, were now at approximately 538 million, and then the operating results here of assets and liabilities carried the fair value remained approximately flat. So, at the end of the day, the asset base that we're working with, so the insurance income in our traditional products, but also the funds under management from the unit-linked products, and on page 25 you can clearly see that along all these dimensions we had net inflows, interest and similar income, market effects and foreign exchange effects, we had positive results across the board, and that is why our operating asset base grew from 384.5 to 402.9 billion euros. And in all our core markets, we had positive net inflows. That's not self-evident, because in some of the mature markets, we also have outflows. We wrote a lot of insurance business towards the end of the 1970s, beginning of the 1980s, and to see positive inflows there is a real good results. If we go, let's take a look at the asset base, and as you can see on page 26, that grew by almost 14% to close to 325 million euros. That's in line with what I've just said before. And the current yield on the interest side is on 1.1% per quarter, and the equity yields recovered to 0.48% compared to a very weak first quarter 2009. That helps us to offset the decreasing interest rates in our portfolio so that we can offer our customers and shareholders a positive current yield, and it's possible to see that our customers can profit from our growth. If we look at the value of new business on page 27, we have another good news, especially for our shareholders, because our new business margin has not just increased significantly towards our target values, but we're reaching these positive margins across all segments. In Europe, in the United States, where we used to be strongly negative, but also in Asia-Pacific, and Asia-Pacific where it's often said that we're only that is an area where you can only create revenue but no profit. That's not true for Allianz. We're making money in Asia Pacific. Okay, so that was life health, and now last but not least, I would like to talk about asset management. So our third party assets under management now exceed 1 trillion euros. That's a figure that's difficult to explain, you know. The total assets, so that includes the assets from Allianz that we are managing there, are now surpassing 1.3 trillion euros. We had strong third-party net inflows. In the third quarter last year, we had 33 billion, and we said that that could never be repeated. But in the first quarter of this year, we had 37 billion euros. And the operating profit of 466 million euros can only be called extraordinary. On page 30, you see an overview of the assets under management for third parties, and it's It's highly important to say that not just fixed income is developing strongly, but also equities are growing, and not just by the recovery of the market. For the first time in many quarters, we had net inflows, and under these market conditions, that's not self-evident. Some of our competitors, especially those who are insurance companies, have net outflows, so that's a positive result of the restructuring attempts on the equity side. On page 31, you can see the net inflows over time, and we've reached a top value with 37 billion euros. On page 32, as in the other segments here, you have an overview of the quarterly development of the operating profit, and then an overview of the operating profit drivers. We have three main components here: net fees and commission income, other income, and operating expenses. Operating expenses, that is above all investments and into the increase of business, and commission expenses. And we need to improve our product portfolio. If we have more assets under management, we, of course, need to invest in future growth. And so overall, we are highly satisfied with the development. Our cost-income ratio was at 58%. That's a top value. Our goal over the year was 65%, and that's top for the industry. Pages 33 and 34, ladies and gentlemen, do show you the individual components for fixed income. PIMCO in the fixed income area, you can see that all three dimensions are doing just great. And on page 34, you have the equities area, and you can see a positive development here when it comes to the inflows and operating profits. After a negative first quarter 2009, was now positive at 26 million euros. The outperforming level has been in the performance. We need to improve ourselves with 61% in the first quarter. We are above the line of 60% that we're expecting at least, but we want to reach 70%. That's the target goal for the equity segment. That brings me to the end of the description of the individual segments, and I would now like to sum up what I've just said. So our view of the first quarter, as you can see on page 36, our revenues were up 10.3% in the quarter alone to 30.6 billion euros. That was driven by life, health, and asset management. Our operating profit compared to a weak first quarter 2009 grew by 24.4% to 1.7 billion euros. We had a net income of 1.6 billion euros, and all this coined by a strong capital position and a very positive solvency ratio, and therefore in spite of volatile markets, we're well positioned for what will be coming. Thank you very much, and we'll now answer your questions. Thank you. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take questions in the order received and will take as many as time permits. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. And again, please press asterisk 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a minute to allow everyone to signal their questions. So, once again, as a reminder, please press asterisk 1 to ask a question. Our first question is from Michael Flemig of Börsen-Zeitung. Please go ahead. Good morning, Mr. Beete. Good morning, Mr. Flemig. I have three questions or question on three areas. First, you and IMF created this 750 billion package. What are the consequences for the positioning of Allianz on the capital market? Then the second question, you said that the natural catastrophes budget wasn't eaten up, but two-thirds of it approximately for the whole year. So if you go significantly beyond this budget, would this mean that you will have to correct your forecast? And the first question regarding PC prices in the first quarter, including credit insurance, grew by 2.2%. What price increases are you expecting for the overall year? And the second aspect, costs or expenses increased again, cost ratio, but the commission part in administration was reduced to 13.8%. Is this a trend that, from your point of view, will continue over the midterm of this year?
Yes, Mr. General, let's start with NatCat and forecast. We always make a forecast for the entire year on a group basis and for the segments. But we don't update the segmental forecast quarterly because it's changing. We've got a very positive portfolio, that's why we're quite comfortable with the overall forecast. But you're absolutely right. If we have further NatCat burdens, then it would be difficult. But currently, I'm not able to make a statement at the moment. But we have to wait for the second quarter due to the fluctuations we see at the moment. So no individual statement so far. NatCat, that's what we keep saying. If that is above the long-term average of 800 million, then, of course, it can't be managed in the way you would otherwise be able to manage that. Then the development of the costs and prices. And what were the price increases? 2.3%, and the plan for the overall year, price increases of 3.8%. This is much more than in the previous years. And our units are positive that these price increases could be done in the portfolio. And you will only see by the course of the year, in the course of the years, because the price increases we have in our policies cannot be translated into our premiums. That will be done in the course of the year. And I will only have a feeling for that in the course of the year, how the price increases will be always reflected in our portfolio. Then the question with regard to cost development. Cost development, the cost quota has been increased by 40 basis points, and the admin costs are declining and saving efforts take effect in many areas. We also see that we are in a displacement market, so we have to do more in order to keep our clients in this highly competitive market and also to give up our margin here. And also there are significant investments that strengthen our distribution because past year, for the first year forever, now, in the sales capacity, we have grown on a net basis of many years of shrinking. So we have higher expenditures in order to maintain our services and keep our customers. I can't say what the effects will be for the course of the year. We're going on reducing our admin costs and using our distribution costs effectively for having better growth or better results. The final question from my side, that was your first question. So what is the incentive position and how important is that for Allianz and the capital market? And apart from others, different from other investors, we are a long-term investment. We always look at our risk exposure and what that means for the mix of the investments, of the capital investments. But we're not starting in a hustle and bustle approach to start trading because the position is based on our risk appetite, we're well capitalized, and the needs of our investment portfolio, of our passive structures. And we are supporting the government in whatever they're doing in order to stabilize the markets. For example, we said we're going to ask KfW bonds and to other instruments for refinancing. It's also a good credit that the federal government provides, and I don't have a problem in investing into the credibility of and the solvency of the federal government. Our next question comes from Alex Wittner from Handelsblatt. Thank you. Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I've also three questions. Mr. Fleming mentioned what the incentive package means for Allianz. I'd like to ask a bit more globally what does that mean for the world economy and where is this going to be and will this be? And what's the second quarter? And then can you say something about the fluctuation corridor for the forecast? So it's rather general for the entire year. So where will we end up at the end of the day? These were two questions. quarter forecast and a corridor. Shoyang. Oh my God, I can't even count properly. Yeah, good morning, Mr. Hübner. Well, when it comes to world economy, I don't have a problem with self-awareness. I have my opinion, but that's one out of many of opinions, but I'm not the best economist. But nevertheless, I can tell you this. We are in very insecure waters at the moment. That's quite important that governments make sure that the following signal will be disseminated to the market. So anyone who is against the euro or bets against the euro needs to lose money. That's one of the problems, not only with the fundamental indebtedness situation, but also the ability of the market in chasing the politics in front of them, and that has to stop. That means we need the regulations in order to have measures that stabilize the market. If you look at the fundamental economic data, the first quarterly data for the German economy are important. They're quite positive, and the financial market should not destroy the real market. That's the first point I can say about the forecast for world economy. If we manage to do that, we should also manage to come out of that hole. And I'm sure that the indebtedness of the government is really problematic, but there is no alternative in the financial crisis, and that's why we have to make sure that we have long-term measures, that we have a long-term thinking in order to come out of that situation. It's important that you not be driven by day-to-day events, but that you further design the future instead of reacting upon it. For the second quarter, I'd like to not to say anything about this because the developments are based on the forecast and according to plan. We kept the forecast for the group both in operational results but also net income, but that's a bit more difficult. On the segment level, we don't publish any forecast because of the volatility. It doesn't make sense to do that. The good piece of information, our portfolio, it's all nicely diversified between PC and life and health and asset management. And this good first of diversification helps us to come out of the situation, and we can live with these fluctuations. If we would be faced with greater net cuts in summer, then the P&C result would be under pressure. Thank you. Our next question comes from Oliver Süß from Bloomberg. Good morning. I wanted to know, in February you said that you would have a combined ratio for property and casualty of 96.5% could be achievable. Is that still the case, or would you have to rectify that after the first quarter? And again, in April, you sold parts of your shares to ICBC. So what's the current portfolio? Since some 300 million shares were sold in April. And my third and last question, we said today that options for Pioneer Investments will be checked at the moment. Would Allianz be interested? Yes, Mr. Süß. That's good questions. You might understand that I may only answer it the way I'm allowed. Of course, with the third question, we can't say anything about M&A activities of peers. We don't comment it. Good luck for good UniCredit for selling that. Combined ratio 96.5. I mentioned it before. It's very difficult to make a forecast at the moment. If you have 100.2 at the moment, then the next quarters need to run very swimmingly. And in the NatCat budget, and if we stay with the budget for the year as originally calculated, it should be possible. If we have high burdens on NatCat side, it's going to be difficult. And that's the perspective on the P&C. I know that you like telling this more precisely for you and your colleagues. And in this business, that is characterized by a lot of volatility. We can't do this. Let me point this out again on the basis of the result of the first quarter. It's not that we only had one event in Europe that's like a typical winter storm like Cynthia, and it started from Portugal and rushed through the entire European landscape, but we had a nominal, the Nat Cat. We had an extremely Nat Cat burden, and in the U.S., We had storms in the area of Australia. That means in many of our operations, we were faced with nat cats, and that only applies for the classic definitions of nat cats. That means if we have a claim that it has to be identified in terms of reinsurance above our techno point, that's different from reinsurance to reinsurer class. One thing we see increasingly in the past few years, we've got weather phenomena and weather damages by short-term ice rain, and which are not effective on nat cats, but which have enormous damage potential. Several weeks where we had ice in Europe and the streets were completely broken and they were covered with ice and there were consequential damage, and in Holland we had this great influence. So we see an unforeseen effect of nat cats, and they're going up, and of course we're trying to cover that into our premiums, but the mortality for our portfolio makes it really difficult to make a strong, clear forecast. That's why I'm only willing to say I can only talk about whole year forecast, but not on a quarterly basis. Thank you for understanding that. And if you want to know more about ICPC, and on our status report on page 79, then the information is given already. In April, from the sale of further ICPC shares, we had a profit of 130 million euros. I think that was all your questions, Mr. Zeus? Yes, I'm going to check page 79 again. Next question, please. Our next question comes from Ulrike Dahl from Dow Jones. Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I have a few questions about investment. What is your current share quota and your share price or share ratio? So which are the investment gains that you could expect in the next quarter? And I think all of this question was not fully answered. How much is left of ICBC, because 0.9% in the third quarter in October? Thanks. Yes, good morning, Mrs. Dauer. Sensibly, I try to understand what the background of the various questions. Equity quota, in order to answer that, is currently at 9% percentage point. We feel well with that. We're comfortable with that because this is on the basis of our passive structures. Important to know that liabilities, and we've got a strategic asset allocation beyond that, so that we would pursue long-term investment policy. That's why the 9% liability is quite good. The investment gain, I don't make any forecasts about that, and we have our own calculations for these examples, and the ICBC status is 800 million. In percentage? No, 800 million. No, I don't know percentage, I'm sorry. 800 million shares. Yep, euros, I'm sorry. Ah, that is confusing, I know. And you don't know the percentage? I mean, the share. We're going to deliver that in a minute. You will find this in our publications. I don't remember individual trade items. Next question. If you want to ask a question, press asterisk 1 on your keypad. Christian Kramer from Reuters. Mr. Beta, first of all, a learning question. What you mentioned with storm weathers, which are not allocated to NatCat, can you identify what that is exactly? My second question is, as long as I've seen Allianz, I've never seen that life insurance have more operative profit than P&C. Is this going to be repeated, or is this just a non-recurring event? Oh, and then the quota cost income ratio 96.5. What I understood is that the markets are being prepared and that this cannot be maintained, presumably, but somehow you don't seem to give up because you're saying it's still attainable. But if you look at the budget has been fully consumed after the first 3 months, this should not be able to be expected, isn't it? Well, storms, NatCat, and the definition between life health and versus PC, and how does it go on with the combined ratio. Further to the definition, what I'm looking at, you know, reinsurance has a definition of a net cat, and which has a very strict definition. They look at the attachment point in the definition of the reinsurance. As of when does the net cat reinsurance materialize, this technical definition does not reflect portfolio fluctuation with great weather. Like Cynthia going through this storm, this is defined as a net cat damage because it goes over 1 weekend and over various countries. And if it reaches a certain threshold, then it will be identified as net cat. The economically important determination is, do you have unusual weather phenomena in which either in the frequency or in the claims amount go beyond a certain threshold? And this is what we got. We had an extremely strong winter, a really, really long winter with a few events in hail and damages we normally don't see. Then the combined ratio again. And out of the 800 million, sometimes 900 million net cat burdens that we have on an average basis on the portfolio, we've consumed 555 million. So we haven't used the complete budget, but a significant share. So for the quarter would be share would be 200 million. That means if we overstress this budget, then it's going to be difficult to achieve 96.5. But we haven't reached it. But you need to have luck. So you won't do without luck. Well, luck and bad luck always plays a role, but we have a really large portfolio, probably the biggest and the best diversified portfolio. I expect a normalization in the course of the year, but I don't want to make any vague forecasts. Then life versus P&C. I mean, we're controlling a portfolio through all segments. Absolutely right. P&C currently has reached a contribution of the profit on a quarterly basis, which is on a historically low position, driven by two effects again. We've got extremely low interest, 200 basis points roughly below the long-term average, which is about burden on the operating profit in P&C, irrespective of the technical development. And so we haven't had this for many, many decades. The second topic, you know, and we are in the hub of a, right in the center of a economic crisis, which dampens, has a negative influence on the demand on these products. But there's also a lot of capital going into the balance sheets, that there's a lot of competition out there. And that's why the margins are under pressure. Now, for 4.5 years, we have declining prices in P&C, and which also that additional pressure onto the market. We're not willing to take losses. That's why we have negative margins. And that also influences the absolute amount, because rather we're shrinking in P&C rather than generating negative margins for our shareholders. And that's what I wanted to say about it. We also profit from two situations in life and health. Investors have lost enough money in volatile investments, and the trust in Allianz and life insurance has come back and start investing into our products. Now, for some time now, and also mentioned that it also to significantly improve the margins of our life insurance and also by price options, better cost management, and better distribution management. And this is also reflected in our figures, and there's something I would like to call it flight to quality, because we got the best rating that you see out there in the industry, the AA. And investors start thinking, if we make a pension insurance, they want to know where to put their money in the next 20 to 30 years. I wouldn't call this a critical information. I think this is very good and positive information. May I ask another question? I just forgot. I said the European Central Bank buys government bonds, which is a change of the trend. What do you think about that? Now, I'm not in the position to assess the market approach of or the measures of the European Central Bank, but I think it's a really outstanding and unusual measure. Herbert Frömmer from Financial Times Deutschland. Yes, good morning. On page 16 of the presentation, there's reinsurance 33% reduction of combined. And the are these figures gross or net for the OEs? Because before the payment to the internal reinsurance, the first pay figure, if it's gross, it would be even worse than the 99.8%. My second question, it sounds a bit strange that Allianz is making the, is this forerunning for stable prices, but I think you started this price war in motor insurance at Allianz. So I was surprised to see that, that you're now saying that you're not investing money, because back then you said you want to revitalize the market, and you started with this price decrease in 2004. Ever since, the prices have been declining, the second question. And there's a lot of unrest among your colleagues. And do you share this with Solvency II? And do you see any risks for your company that this will result in anything that will cost you money and capital? Third question. The hybrid capital markets, should that be further strengthened? Any plans for that? Probably that's quite a feasible time to do that because of the insurance background. And if the market stays as volatile as it is at the moment, maybe you can say something about the general perspectives of Allianz in areas where you are not fully representative, represented in, or where you believe that M&A makes sense. And so how cheap must insurance companies be in order to be bought by you? Good question. Starting with the first question. The first question, how do I interpret the 33%? What does that mean? Is it net or gross? And what does this mean with this price war? The most important point, these are net results, like always. And in reinsurance that we outlined there is a mix of two effects. So internal reinsurance, and then also we're operating roughly 600 million of external reinsurances. That means reinsurance is because of the net claims in the various countries is hardly affected, because these claims have to be sent to the market through this reinsurance, which dramatically meant that we are buying for better conditions in the market. What is the combined gross that most of your colleagues stated in gross? 99.8 is net. What is gross in Germany? I'm going to give you the figures. We got the gross figures for the individual countries, but to be honest, we don't look at that in gross. No, it's about the comparability with other companies, because they stated in gross. We're going to get them in a few minutes. But I also have it for the other countries. So we are sorting that at the moment. No problem with that. What is important to note that the controls that we're doing internally make sure that based on the risk assessment, we can optimize this, not in order to design the results, but the individual units should be optimized in terms of risk and making good business. That's different from the past, because there was the Munich Re quota share that was reduced, and we do this in terms of control purposes for capital efficiency. That's why I'd like to talk about solvency too, and general perspective. What is important to note is price war. I don't know, Mr. Frommer, probably, I don't know what happened in the year 2004. There are a lot of rumors, and as far as I can influence that, I don't think we write business at negative margins anymore. But the MI risk, there exists some pressure that also that no lost business or lost prone business should be written anymore. That has changed. The second topic regarding Solvency II, hybrid capital, and further to individual refinancing instruments. I don't want to say anything about that. We're not allowed to do this for legal reasons, but I can say something about Solvency II. Principally, Allianz is a supporter of Solvency II because that helps us get risk-based supervision systems. And failures on an economical basis will be punished by higher capital need. Principally, the system is right. You need to make sure that during the implementation, the practical handling of the system will not lead to massive distortions. Because we always mentioned we need to make sure that in QRS4, that is the quantitative-related impact study 4 and 5, 5 is coming, that these are reality-related scenarios instead of having extreme scenarios that lead to an overcapitalization at the burden of the customers, because it's going to be given to the customers because you won't get coverage for certain risks, which are particularly capital intensive, or in the form of excessive prices. We're working on that intensively, and I think in the cooperation with science and politics, we're going to get the right results. And with regard to requirement, the individual risk drivers are being dealt with regard to the question of credit risk. Is this being correctly calibrated? I think we are on a good way, and when it becomes for available financial resources, there is a lot of discussion that is needed. What is the tier one capital, and to make sure and forward having the right decisions. And that particularly applies for international groups. And the utilization of local capital for the group's capability, that is really important to have the right regulations there. And whatever has been resolved in the first guideline should be practically used. And we hope that by the end of the year and early next year, when the results from QRS5 will be disseminated, and we can reach good guidelines and with the politicians. For Allianz, as I the capital strength that we have currently, not only for Solvency I, but also for the rating, will also be translated into the new regulation framework of Solvency II. So I expect for a strong capital basis for Allianz at the end of this process. General outlook, how cheap must shares be or competitors be to be bought? I can't say about individual transactions, but still, if there are interesting M&A opportunities that we're on the market, we're still careful. Because two remarks. First of all, on life insurance, you need to be extremely careful when you buy portfolios, because many portfolios might include guarantees which are not reflected in the risk capital that applies to strongly growing portfolios in the individual markets and on P&C. It depends what is the perspective for the non-life cycle. And we still have a lot of excess capital in the industry, like I mentioned before. And I don't see any sign of declining prices, because cheap is also always relative with regard to my perspective. But we always look at good things. Now, experts say the gross combined ratio, we will still give you this in the course of the call, and we will also provide it later on. And also you mentioned the releases that was increased. That is a figure that you play around with. If I had to say that gross is 110 in Germany, would that be right? No. That's pure speculation. And the releases, by the way, were not increased in Germany. And that is a portfolio in total. And that was derived from countries where we are strongly reserved, had strong reserves in the crisis, like Italy and so on. That has nothing to do with Germany. And by the way, I can only say for Germany, in Germany, this gross combined ratio largely correlates to the net combined ratio. There are no major differences. That's why I expect that the 99.8, but I haven't. This is not for secure, this is my brain, that's my memory, then 99.8 should correspond to the gross value.
Okay, next question, please. Rüdiger Schoss of Dow Jones. Good morning, Mr. Beete. In the first quarter, were any dividends reserves created? Yes, we are doing as we did in the previous years, that prorata 40% of our net income are reserved for dividends. So that's based on solvency and
that is not a, that is unchanged to what we did in the past. So if we have a higher net income, we're reserving more, and less if we earn less, that's not what we do. We always have the 30%, but that's not to say that the dividends will then end come out at a certain value, because that's always a proposal to the AGM and the supervisory board, to the supervisory board, and this will then be decided at the beginning of the next year. Next question, please. Again, please press *1 to ask a question. Right now, we don't have any additional questions. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kott, are there any additional questions? Then please go ahead. Yes, we have two additional questions. First, Jonathan Gould of Reuters. Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Leite, I just wanted to ask, regarding the NatCat forecast you've given, you said that you are closely monitoring the developments over the next quarters. My question is, does that mean, or could you do something against NatCats in the sense that you would have more insurance linked, you would more emit more insurance-linked securities, or is that out of your hands and is out of the hands of Allianz? Well, that's a clever question, Mr. Gould. Good morning. Well, we're not just looking at it, but of course we're discussing different options, but regarding different options that you can do, NatCat bonds, reinsurance, and changes, I don't want to go into any detail or talk about them here, but there are options in the financing structures to do something. That's true. Okay, thank you. There was another question. Our next question is a follow-up by Mr. Fromme of Financial Times, Germany. Well, I just wanted to make sure that we get the gross figures. Well, I have certain gaps in my memory, but I promise you personally that I will let you know. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you, Mr. Fromme. So, if there are additional questions, please ask them now. Do we have additional questions? Right now, we don't have any additional questions. Okay, then I would say thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to our team here. If follow-up questions should come up from the figures, please ask Mr. Gross, and we'll be glad to answer your questions. Have a great day. Enjoy the holiday tomorrow and have a great week. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that ends today's conference. Thank you very much for your participation and have a great day.